Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, right at the beginning of the chapter. Becoming as a little child. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for children. And thank you for what Jesus said when he was here on earth, to make it so clear, you want the little children to come to you. But Lord, there's something here for we adults to learn from the children. This is a lesson that Jesus taught. His very own words, and we're going to hear them today. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and a willingness to believe. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him a question. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" This was apparently a discussion that came up among the disciples on more than one occasion, and it was an issue that was a puzzle to them. And they really grappled with it. Jesus gives a very definitive answer to them here at this time. In verse 2, he said, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever there shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, Jesus brings up two separate issues between verse 3 and verse 4. In verse 3, the first thing is you have to get into the kingdom. And then verse 4, once you are in the kingdom, position becomes the issue. Being in is simple. Verse 4, humble yourself as this little child in order to be great. When you're in, that's very simple. But getting into, he says in verse 3, except ye be converted and become as little children. The word converted means to turn around. You are not now as children, so you must turn around and become as little children. So what are the qualities of little children that are required in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven? We'll get to that, but first thing, I want to clarify what Jesus is not talking about. Let's not miss the point, because many children today are not what children used to be. I'm not saying all children, but many children in the world today are not what children used to be. When I was a child, adults set the agenda. Those of you in my generation, do you remember that? And children followed. For example, at a meal, let's say you have fried chicken, who picked their pieces first? Oh, mom and dad picked. Well, dad picked first, then mom, then the oldest child, then the next child. And if you were the youngest child, you got what was left over. That's the way it was. The motto when I was a child was, children are to be seen and not heard. You remember that? That's not very politically correct for today, is it? How is it today? Children set the agenda. Everything revolves around what children want, and respect for adults, in large part by children, is lost. Go to 2 Kings chapter 2. And verse 23. 2 Kings chapter 2. Verse 23. Elisha. He went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the woods and didn't treat those children very nicely. I had an interesting experience. Oh, this is many, many years ago. But I was driving and came to a stop sign, and there were two young boys on the corner, I suppose waiting to cross the street. I was in my car alone, and I yawned. And one of these two boys mocked me, yawning, pretending he was yawning, and just mocked me. I thought, how disrespectful. Kind of felt like Elisha. There weren't any she-bears around, fortunately for those two boys. Go over to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. Where it says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff." Here's the stay, the whole bread, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. And here's the staff, the mighty man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And instead of them, verse 4, "And I will give them children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable." And that was not a good thing. It was a shame. When Jesus said you had to become like little children to get into the kingdom, and you had to humble yourselves like a little child to be great in the kingdom, he was not referring to the negative aspects of being childish. I believe there's a difference between being childish and being childlike. The word childish, when applied to an adult, suggests an adult that is weak and silly and irresponsible. But when Jesus applies the concept of being childlike to an adult, he's referring to some very spiritual qualities that children have the potential of exhibiting. So let's take these two issues that Jesus brings up and treat them separately. First, what does it take to get into the kingdom of heaven? In other words, what does it take to get saved? Well, it takes an understanding of the gospel, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So if the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, It takes an understanding of the gospel of Christ in order to be saved. The other thing it takes is repentance. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, where it says, Jesus speaking, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, you'll remember what it says there, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, Jesus used the word converted. And the word repentance and the word converted go along together very much. Repentance is not a work. It's not a work by which you stop sinning and receive God's forgiveness because you are no longer sinning. Repentance is a mental exercise. The Bible word for repentance is made up of two words. One of the words is to think or to perceive, and the prefix to that is the word after. It means that you have a different way of thinking about things. Before, you thought one way, and after, you think another way. Repentance regarding sin means before, you thought it was okay, but after, you understand how wrong you were. To convert is very much the same thing. It is to turn away from your old thoughts. To be converted is the condition of one who has repented, who has accepted their guilt for their sin, who has confessed their guilt for their sin, and who has believed that what God said about sin is correct. So you repent, and the result of repentance is that you are converted. You are changed. You've turned around. So in order to get saved, one must have a complete thinking about one's behavior from, I'm not so bad, how many people say that? To, I am a sinner on the way to hell. And once you arrive at that point of understanding, you're ready to understand the gospel. And receive. That's the last thing. It takes a receiving. John 1:12. You know it? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You ask someone, when did you become a Christian? Oh, I've always been a Christian. I was born in a Christian home. Then you ask them, well, when did you receive Christ? There's a big difference between being born in a Christian home and receiving Christ through believing in his name. And according to this verse, John 1:12, there must be a moment in time in which you consciously receive Christ as your Savior. Romans chapter 10, please. Verse 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe in your heart. You have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, which means if he is raised from the dead, what did he do first? He died. And you understand why he died. He died for your sin. and shed his blood for your redemption. And then, what do you do with your mouth? You have to say something. You have to talk. And you have to make a confession, both of your knowledge of your sin and of your belief in Jesus. And that's how you receive Christ. You believe in your heart, but then you talk to God with your mouth and consciously receive Christ as your Savior. Confession is made unto salvation. You have to talk to make your confession and receive Christ. That's why when we lead someone to Christ, what do we have them do? We have them pray and talk and make their confession to God and receive Christ as their Savior. Now, what does all of that have to do with childlikeness? Jesus said, be converted and become as little children, Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, indicating the repentance part through the conversion, which requires a childlikeness. What is one of the basic things we teach children? One child does something mean to another child, and we say to that mean child, say you're sorry. Right? Tell him you're sorry. Most children comply. You know, they'll kind of bow their head, scrunch up their eyes a little bit. I'm sorry. It is the tender heart of childlikeness that is required in order to enter into the kingdom of God, because in that tender heart, you have not only learned to say, I'm sorry, you have learned to mean it. It is in this childlike demeanor that one repents and receives Christ as Savior. So now, what does it take to be great in the kingdom? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom. Psalm 131, verse 2. Psalm 131, verse 2. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. What is the characteristic of a child that is too young to be weaned? When he is hungry, he's not quiet. He uses the only means that he has to let you know he's hungry. He cries. He makes noise. It's understandable. But what changes when a child is weaned? He behaves. See the word there? I have behaved. The word suggests that he has become compliant. The yielding of the will. And he has become quiet. A properly weaned child not only no longer makes a fuss when they're hungry, but they have learned to submit their will to their mother. Thus Jesus says, humble yourself as a little child. Pride always brings a person down. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low. But humility always elevates a person. Proverbs 29, 23 continues, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And here in Matthew 23 and verse 12, Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. That is why the greatest in the kingdom are the humble. And to be great in the kingdom, it takes a readiness to trust. Psalm 36, verse 7. Psalm 36, verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. You remember on Mother's Day we had the story about the mother bird that had sacrificed her life to save the lives of her little chicks. Remember how the firemen had discovered the little birds safe under the charred body of their mother? You know, there are two things involved in this matter of a mother hen spreading her wings and her chicks coming under the wings. On the one hand, the mother must spread her wings. But on the other hand, the chicks must come under the wings. They must trust. God's wings are always spread open. It's up to us as to whether or not we come under them. Psalm 91, verse 4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. It takes simple faith, just simple faith, to believe in Jesus and receive him as your Savior for salvation. You either believe or you don't. But as a saved person, it takes a sufficient quantity of faith to submit to his protection on a daily basis. Remember when the disciples were in the boat with Jesus and the storm came on the sea and all of that? And Jesus says to them, why are ye fearful, O ye of what? Little faith. He didn't say they didn't have any faith. They had some faith, at least when they panicked. They knew where to go. They went to Jesus and pleaded with him to save them. But Jesus indicated for saved people, their faith comes in quantities. It takes the quantity of a childlike faith to trust in Jesus on a daily basis. When a child hurts himself, what is the first thing he usually cries? Mommy. Yeah. I think we talked about that before, didn't we? On was it Mother's Day? Yeah. Fathers will say, stop your crying. Be tough. But mommy knows how to kiss it and make it better. But the child knows where to go. And if we are childlike on a daily basis, we'll know where to go when we're hurting. We'll know who to trust to take care. You're able to receive Jesus as your Savior with a childlike willingness to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sin. I've been wrong, and you, God, have always been right. I believe the gospel. I confess my sin. I receive Jesus. And then you develop an excellent reputation as a Christian with a childlike willingness to submit your will to God's will and to trust Him to be your protector and help. We encourage adults to be mature, but sometimes pride is mistaken for maturity. True biblical maturity requires some childlike characteristics. It's important that we teach our children what true childlike characteristics are and not try to impose adult characteristics on children. Only when children are as they should be in God's eyes can we learn from those children as adults. Not to be childish, but to be childlike. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. May we be humble and trust. Lord, if there's anyone here that has not yet received Jesus as their Savior, may they have that childlike willingness to say, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. I need to receive Jesus as my Savior. Bless these things to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.